Hello, and welcome to the Metroid Dread spoiler cast and review from Gigaboots. We have gathered the usual four hosts. We have Bob.
Hey, guys.
From Gigaboots. We've got KZ from KZExcellent.com.
Beep boop.
We've got Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride. And I'm your host, Dan Video Games. If you've never joined us for one of these before, what we're going to do is do a quick summary of our feelings at the beginning with a couple sentences. Give it a sound that reflects our soul. Go into specific stories about it, criticisms, praises, etc. And then at the end of this, we'll do another more thorough summary of each of our feelings exactly and give it a score up to 10, making it a Famitsu-style maximum of 40 points. Let's go ahead and get this one done. We're going to start with KZ. KZ, give me a two-sentence summary and a sound.
Metroid Dread has been a lot of fun. I shot things.
Next, we'll move to Mr. Feel.
Metroid Dread surprised me in a lot of ways I didn't expect to be surprised in a Metroid game, much less in a game made by Mercury Steam. So I'm going to give it a
Now we'll move to Bob.
Yeah, this game really redefined Metroid in a lot of ways, which is crazy after this many years. I'm going to give it a ooh.
Metroid Dread is like a delicious sandwich you always show up for at your favorite deli. But this time, something has been changed. They added one ingredient and has redefined what that sandwich meant to you. I'm going to give it a And with that out of the way,
they added cheese.
No, it's Ethan Chbosky style. They added pickled onions.
I thought it was Thousand Island dressing. I thought we were getting a Big Mac.
No! Oh.
We need to...
They fired that weird guy.
We need to make this fancy. Slather it in dressing. Anyway, let's get to it. Specifically, the first thing I want to talk about, how cool it is when you travel to new areas when they change the old areas. Like when Artaria, the first map region in the game, gets completely frozen over and just stays that way for the rest of the game. That is really cool to me. I think that's a really neat element to this that when thinking back on it, I'm like, that didn't really, like, it happens a bit in Fusion, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, that's something that, like, newer Metroidvanias started doing, and which surprised me that it would be in this, because, like, I feel like the number one thing a Nintendo does is, like, we're not going to look at anything anyone else ever made.
Yeah.
It helps when you're working with an external development partner, I suppose. Yeah, it was really cool, because not only is it an aesthetic change, it changes the layout and flow of two different maps when things start freezing over. And that's really cool. Because now the designs that were there before have been redefined by certain doors being frozen and bodies of water being frozen, blocking paths. I thought it was a really cool segment in the game, and just surprising on top of everything else. First and foremost, this game feels amazing. Just
it's crazy.
Absolutely stellar feeling video game. Easily the most fluid a Metroid has ever controlled. On top of that, the results are back. The input latency on this thing is crazy low. It is, and that's good because of the counter system, right?
Yeah.
You want that as low as possible for that.
And all the stuff was the boss fights, honestly.
Like, oh, yeah.
It would be really, really annoying if this game didn't control well and didn't respond properly.
And that's shocking because this is actually the first Mercury Steam game to target above 30 frames per second, to target a 60 outside of that free-to-play multiplayer game they made.
Oh, yeah, Space Lords.
Yeah.
Space Lords!
Space Lords.
Or Raiders of the Broken Planet, as it was originally called.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
This is their first game to target 60. And it does a relatively good job locking it for most of your playthrough. And then you get into a boss fight with two different dudes and you're dashing everywhere and they're pissing particle systems and it's like, oh, this is eating shit.
Yeah, anytime you turn on your sensor to like locate things, yeah, then the game's just like, I can't do this and have an effect.
It's all died.
It's true. See, I'm glad Bob has also done the 100%ing every map region, because that is something you become deeply, intimately aware of.
Yes.
Doing that, where it's just like, yeah, it turns out most regions in this game are not prepared for you to do a sensor probe. the game will just run bad now. Thank you very much.
Yep.
It is so fantastic that it feels so good. I felt like before this came out, Zero Mission's like kind of one of the tightest feeling Metroid games, because it doesn't have the floaty low physics jump or a slow turn down time in midair that Super does. And it has the Game Boy Advance style super gravity and like ledge grabbing and all that stuff that feels really tight. But even then, comparing that to this, this feels more fluid in a way that's like really impressive, and I would not have expected, you know? In fact, just sheerly from the, like, over Samus Returns, this feels like a really fluid experience, because that one's 30 frames per second and a lot rougher, but still an impressive effort for the 3DS for sure.
Yeah, like Samus Returns almost controls like this, but they just added a few little things that made it make it feel way better.
Yes, and they have enough buttons on the controller now.
Yes.
Because for some reason they didn't support the new 3DS controls in the least, even though they shipped past the Switch launching.
Yeah. They're like, nobody has that. Don't worry about it.
What are the sales figures on that? And then Nintendo takes them into a weird cultish back room where they have to sacrifice a child to open a door. And then they get to see the sales figures and they go, yeah, we're not going to support that.
A thing that that this game solved, that Metroid Dread solved for me at least, is I always felt that Metroid was like a hard sell compared to the Castlevanias, because they were very similar, but like, Metroid didn't have the RPG elements.
Mm.
And I never felt like it really had anything to close that gap. For me, at least.
Yeah, I've heard that for some people, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. It even felt like it controlled worse in Castlevania games. And Castlevania games had those RPG elements that made it feel, like, better.
Yeah.
But now, with this, like, Metroid... Can they continue in this direction, like Castlevania or Bloodstained, of course, you know, because I don't think Konami's going to be making a new Metroidvania style Castlevania.
Yeah, I feel like they're making that new one. It's probably not going to be Metroidvania.
Probably not.
But I feel like, okay, that stays the RPG thing, and Metroid is like the action game version, because you're so fast, you have the counter. Some of the boss fights in this game are insane.
Yeah, yeah, the bosses are incredibly well designed in this.
Like, that, I can't believe they made Metroid into a really slick action game. And it feels like that gap has finally closed, and they're now, like, equal, just in different directions.
Yeah, I feel like this one really added a missing element when it comes to, like, Metroid that gave it a what feels like a fully well-rounded out set of tools, right? Before, Metroid was... I don't know. Just something felt like it was missing there, because the high level game combat design, by the time you get to Zero and Fusion, is you have 200 missiles. Use them. there's some neat stuff in Fusion with the ice missile that you can charge, and it does like a Nova almost. And that's really neat. But it still felt like something was missing in your repertoire, which made some sense when, you know, on the Game Boy Advance, you only have four buttons. But the counter system in this, and various other aspects of, like, the missile swarm and the phase shift, right? Or the flash shift. All these different things make this feel, like, really, really high-level gameplay-wise, really smart and challenging in a way that's great. Like, it's not just that the Shine Spark is the highest level of, like, cool platformer trick you can do in this game anymore. There's now, like... you need to do all of these cool, like, wall jumps into a Shine Spark at an angle in this specific thing, and your average combat becomes flash shifts, grapple shots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It feels really good in a way that none of the others did.
Even something as basic as, like, the slide, you can now have, like, a boss, even at the start of the game, do an attack, you have to slide under, and that feels really natural and good.
Yes.
When, like, in Fusion or Zero Mission, it'd be like, tap down twice and become the ball. And I don't even know if anybody did, if any bosses did that, but that feels much, like, less intuitive and smooth than just sliding and popping right back up and starting to shoot again.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, even Samus Returns tried to turn turning into a ball a button, but it's still not good enough. Like, this has turning into a ball as a button, but the slide thing just makes it so much more elegant when it comes to boss design stuff.
And just move in general. Like, you can keep your speed while going through ball areas, basically. Unless they're huge ones. But there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, we just want to have this little thing you have to duck under quickly. And the slide really clears that gap of, hey, you don't need to roll up into the ball every time. Like, I think that's why they didn't give you give you the ball for like an hour plus into the game. And like, okay, you've learned how this game actually works already. You can now have the ball.
Yeah, which is really cool.
That was also really refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So because it feels like in every other game, the ball is usually the first thing you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, maybe the missiles, but usually it's the ball. So, like, from moment one, you're going through ball mazes. And here's like, no, you have a decent chunk of the game where you're not engaging with, like, ball mazes. This game also feels like less ball mazy than a lot of them.
Yes.
Probably because they were like, those are kind of slow and we want to be fast.
Not only that, this has, because the ball maze is supposed to be a form of platforming challenge and like a puzzle exploration element, right? This has enough mechanics where they can build it out of so many different things, like the grapple beam and ledge grabbing, along with aiming missiles at specific areas on walls, the flash shifting, everything else. Like, they build platforming challenges out of fucking everything in this. For example, your spin boost, which is your double jump, doesn't get you higher than your original jump underwater. So that's its own type of platforming constraint that they can design around.
Yeah, you can make like a really large horizontal like water chasm that it's, well, you'll jump and be that same height. So if you just keep pressing it correctly, you can infinitely go that direction.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Like, I think this game, out of every studio in the world, Mercury Steam's the last studio I would have expected to have such a thoughtful idea of what to do with puzzle platforming in Metroid. Like, they seem like they have spent forever thinking of Metroid shit.
it was also really brave and a great decision to keep the gravity suit away from you for so long.
Right.
Because you get the space jump first.
Yes.
And even it's like, no, you can't go higher even with the space jump underwater. Then you get the gravity suit and you're God.
Yes.
Yes, you truly.
You're like, there is nowhere in this game I cannot go.
Yeah, you truly feel invincible at that point, where you're like, God, finally. They waited as long as they could to make it the most satisfying to make that water area feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one boss is like, I'm going to shoot walls of energy that you have to spin jump through. And you're like, what the fuck? No boss ever did any shit like this.
You have to engage with the mechanics, not hit the missiles as much as you can.
You have to platform really delicately and well through this myriad of bullets. And I'm like, what?
That entire phase of you're running, the wall's on fire, you got to jump between the fireballs. And then I watch a YouTube video that goes, right when that ends, if you shot spark into their head, it kills them instantly.
See, that's what I was telling you, Bob, the first time we ran into that. I'm like, I'm trying so hard to shine spark into him. I want to see it do a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently, yeah, that's a thing.
There's a lot of stuff people are finding like that. Like, you can sequence break and get the bombs before Kraid, and there's a unique kill on Kraid with the bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that. They seem to like second phases being trivialized, because that's like the second phase you launch into his stomach and start blowing him up. Or this, the experiment boss, I forget like the letter or number for him, where you go through and dodge those energy blasts and then you jump up and do the shoulder charge shine spark and immediately cuts to the cutscene where he's dying.
Yeah. The bosses feel so good to fight in this. So many of them have well-designed phases. And it's all really, really great. The spear guys being a regular that eventually gets the shield and then eventually gets the shield and just won't let go unless you do that counter is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And the missile swarm is also absolutely incredible when it comes to fighting these bosses. Because instead of it being, you know, you're charging a beam and then you shoot the beam at them, it's you need to have your reticle on the boss long enough to get multiple pips to really unload. But once you're in the headspace of the game's mechanics, how it works, the boss patterns, whatever, the gray arm blade dude only takes two full missile swarms, so the dual boss fight one just instantly gets defused. It's really great for playing through again. It feels so good. I'm really glad, because while all the bosses in Super Metroid are really cool and amazing looking, not a lot of them are fun. Though they did add, you know, like we were just talking about in Metroid Dread here, Super also had some things kind of like that for killing a boss really fast in an insanely cool way. For example, there's I believe it's like a wasp-like enemy that just picks you up, and if you grapple beam into an electric wall near you, you will tase the boss to death.
Yeah, I think he's a shrimp.
Yes, it's a shrimp. That's right.
Oh, okay.
That shit's really cool, and I'm glad they added a bunch of things like that to this one.
Yeah, that was the coolest part of Super Metroid, going back to it, which is surprising. That's not like a boss I even remember.
Most people don't really talk about that stuff with the bosses either.
Yeah.
And I think that's major cool points. Because when you find that stuff in this game, like someone sent me the clip right after we finished our first stream of like, this is what happens when you have the bombs at Kraid. I'm like, this is the coolest shit.
Yeah, I need to find out how to even get those. Like, that sequence break seems insane because the bombs are way later.
Yeah, I still haven't tried it because I had to get all of the pictures and 100% every area. And that's what I focused on for my first four runs, which wouldn't have taken four if... Well, maybe it would have taken four. Yeah, I think I just barely missed the boat on normal that third time or whatever, or second time. But yeah, it has a really weird system in this game where the things you unlock are literally locked to the file. Your files aren't unlocking gallery things or Chozo lore or whatever for the entire game. It's just on those specific files.
I kind of get it.
Kind of, except for the whole new game plusing to do.
Yeah, so I've just been copying the file to other slots.
Okay, so you can do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay.
And that's the way I've been doing it.
That's good.
But it is weird that they even let you do like a new game and just start in hard mode on a totally new file.
Yes.
Without doing that. Because yeah. I think if that wasn't an option, you wouldn't think about doing it.
Right. I like to use all my files. Mm-hmm. So I left my original file and just started two more files.
Right.
Not realizing, yeah, you need to speedrun this game under 4 hours on both normal and hard to get every picture. And then the extra picture for this game, speaking of which, have the other people on this podcast seen both the ultimate unlock for the gallery and the Chozo lore or whatever it's called?
No.
Yeah, I haven't seen the
I only
Chozo
played it twice
one.
And I haven't engaged with the hard mode at all.
Okay, KZ, now imagine the picture you saw for the speedrun one.
Yeah.
But it's Samus in a Varia suit instead of Zero suit.
Oh.
It's the same image, literally, but they swapped out the Samuses, and I'm like, what?
That's really funny.
It's insane.
Yeah, at least with the last one of those they did was supposed to be, like, hints for this.
Yes. Oh, yeah, no, it very clearly set up Raven Beak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sad we didn't get some sort of tease for another thing.
I was hoping for that, yeah. I put a decent amount of time into trying to get everything, and I was hoping there would be some small hints. There's a lot of really cool art, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I did get cool. That art book, and that has an absurd amount of art.
Bob got his special edition of Metroid Dread. All he had to do was sacrifice his child.
That you can get that really good art of Beta Samus designs, where they're like, "Yeah, she's Doom Guy. Just make her armor huge."
Yeah, some of those are weird.
I hope that part of the reason Metroid Prime 4 got rebooted is they're like, you're going to be set after Dread now.
can we get out of the space where you're like after Metroid 2 or wherever that is?
Yeah, I think it's between 1 and 2, and it would be really great if Prime could exist going forward in the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no necessarily any reason for it to be in that area. You can kind of like throw that wherever you want.
I think for Metroid Prime 1, there is a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know that any of the others have a real reason, though.
Maybe Federation Force already got it past that, and we just don't know.
not a human on Earth.
Well, no human being ever played Federation Force. I think it sold 4,000 copies.
Cool.
Oh, that's very impressive.
I'm very excited for Metroid Prime Month, where we play Federation Forces.
I was actually looking at first week sales of these in Japan like a few hours ago because Zebellion posted it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what Federation Force was, but I'm pretty sure it was basically the bottom.
7.
I'm glad Metroid Dread's selling so well in Japan. It's like the best selling Metroid so far.
Yeah, and it's like the best UK launch for any of these.
And those numbers for the best UK launch don't include digital.
Yeah, it's already out. Apparently they said it outsold Samus Returns Lifetime.
That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, the Samus Returns.
That makes sense.
The end of life 3DS game.
That game sold stunningly well for an end of life 3DS game, but I don't think it crossed like over 500K.
I mean, that makes sense that it sold stunningly well for late 3DS. It was Metroid fans. they haven't gotten a 2D Metroid since Fusion.
I feel like with Samus Returns, it was even more desperate than when like Capcom does their test. Because Capcom will always give you another test in like 5 or 6 years. You don't know with Nintendo. Okay, Metroid, time to go behind the shed.
Yeah, to some extent, you could start entertaining, man, that 3DS WarioWare didn't sell well. Hopefully they still make WarioWare. It's like, they did, don't worry about it. Okay, we're good.
Phew, that was a dodge.
And where's F-Zero again?
Don't worry about it.
Oh no, Bob!
That Game Boy Advance game based on the anime didn't sell well, which didn't release outside of Japan. They can't make another.
Don't remind me of the anime. The anime was super cool.
I actually haven't watched the anime, but it looked super cool.
I just saw that one clip in a couple of early episodes when it was on television here.
Yes, in the long, long ago.
Yeah. I've only seen that one clip that everybody on the internet has seen.
Yes. It's very cool. I like some of the sequence break stuff in this, where I just found one on my own just by messing around, where you're in that heavily forested area later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And through the act of attempting to get things they clearly don't want you to get yet, like when this becomes the funniest game in the world, they will occasionally say, all right, as the morph ball, roll up and get that thing. We're going to put blocks that make you fall right in front of it.
Yes.
So you naturally go, okay, so I have to do some weird cartoon-ass method to get the speed boost as a ball and then shoot really fast across and get it. So I did one of those, and it took me down to a really large chasm.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, oh, yeah, if you bomb jump and really work it, you could go all the way up there. And then my brain went, what if I just shine sparks straight up? And you do. And then I'm fighting that weird crab boss that you fight three forms of to get the cross bombs before I have space jump, before I fought even the experiment boss.
It's a good thing wall jumps exist in this game.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it just becomes this thing of, yeah, you're just doing that way, way, way earlier, which made that boss funny because I couldn't space jump, so I had to hold on to walls and then double dash across his body.
Yep.
Which made his attack where he takes up half the screen with hitboxes horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely horrifying of, I need to get over there now. There's no chance otherwise.
Yeah, I do not envy fighting that boss without space jump.
Yeah.
Because of the grid of projectiles that appear in midair from the bombs.
Yeah.
That's funny because that item he gives you is supposed to be the pulse bomb or whatever, right?
Cross bomb.
Cross bomb. And that was what you were supposed to use to get the thing you got into this whole mess because...
Yes, I know. It's just I didn't have it yet. Like, this is important because... There are many of them that are like, you need to do the cross bombs and then shine sparks something and fucking do three turns.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hold your speed boost across four rooms and then hit down and then do something with it.
Then become a ball and then shine spark down and to the right to break through two walls of things simultaneously. Get the angle exactly right.
Or... learn that when you're in the air, you can hit the L to retarget, and then you're allowed to shine spark in the air.
Yep.
Or you can just shoot.
Oh, okay.
Could you wall jump and retain a shine spark in any previous game?
Yes. You could.
Because I know Zero Mission had Ball Spark, and I was fucking lost. I had no idea that even existed. I had to look it up to be able to do it in this game. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean you can shine Spark as a ball? They didn't teach you this shit.
Yeah. Apparently in Super Metroid it was a bug, so they just made it a feature in later games.
Cool. It's a good plan.
I'm glad that we got to wall jump feeling like a good mechanic after Super Metroid.
Yeah, this is the first one where I feel like wall jumps actually feel good.
Yeah, this definitely feels even better than Zero Mission, which I'll take Zero Mission and Fusion's wall jump over Super, which I finally got the knack of Super down, and you really are just like leading on the D-pad by one frame or doing it simultaneously or whatever, but it's real weird. It's real weird that the wall jump feels like that in that game.
Yeah, this is the first wall jump that just feels like intuitive like any other wall jump,
right?
Any other 2D platformer where it's like, exactly. I'm going to hit the button when I'm hitting a wall.
What a concept.
So when it's like, it's finally the one that feels good, it's like, it's the only one that feels normal.
Yep.
At all.
I kind of got it in Super Metroid because you could do goofy shit and climb up a vertical wall with it.
Yes.
But they took that out in Fusion, so they should have just made it normal.
Right.
Yeah.
And Zero Mission does the same thing where it's that fixed like 45 degree angle upward thing where you have to go a set distance from the wall. So it keeps you from cheesing up a vertical wall.
Yeah. Save that for your for your bombs.
Yes. You have to time things well to just fly straight up a wall.
I tried to do the bomb stuff in one vertical shaft, but they had like a room with a hole in it to the top left that a buzzsaw kept dropping shit on it, and I'm like, no, I can't do it. The buzzsaw always lands over here while I'm trying to bomb on the right side to get up a small little alcove in the ceiling, and I'm like, you did this shit on purpose.
Yeah, that's always rough where you're like, I'm so close to doing this really cool thing.
Yeah.
But then you just keep dropping shit on my head.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you did not do that.
So we got to talk about the Emmys, because I find that the Emmys can be, with some people, a point of contention. I thought they were pretty neat. At no point did I absolutely hate them. What is everyone else's thoughts on the Emmys, Bob?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good, like, tension, not breaker, but like
it built a sense of dread.
Yes, there's actually legitimate fear. I played it with headphones my second time through. I was like, oh, this helps those be scary a lot.
Yes,
the little noises they make and everything really, really sells them.
It's really good. They sound like the Metroid 2 soundtrack that you love so much.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Bob's just getting PTSD for the time he played Metroid 2 three times in a row.
Yeah, they're a fantastic pace breaker where they allow you to, you get into this like hole of playing and going through a Metroid area. And then those get to be a thing of you're actually focusing on speed of getting to the other side or figuring out how to work your way through an area very quickly so you can get to what you're doing. And also you get to see occasionally power-ups in those areas going, I don't have time to get that. I have no time to even think about what you want for me to get this mm-hmm. energy tank. So it becomes this thing of after you've figured it out, found that mini mother brain thing so you can take them out, that area you can now like take your time and explore properly and figure out what to get the secrets that were in those specific zones.
Yeah, it's super interesting that it's just like, no, you got to run. Like areas just become like, learn how to do the platforming of this game really quickly.
Uh-huh. And stuff like the grapple beam. Learn how to like grapple beam on the top right like surface so you can shoot up. So you're like getting through a lot of obstacles quickly. Because boy, can those get a little bit difficult when they're pursuing you. Especially when they say, all right, you're used to them now. They're going to have powers now related to what upgrade they're going to give you.
Yep.
Yeah, like the grapple beam stuff is super important, like when they add water, because it's right. Like, the enemies are not slowed down by water near as much as you.
I was sitting there and on my most recent playthrough, which is like my fourth, I was like, every Emmy room has a really obvious optimal way to run through it, and the underwater one just feels weird to me. That's when I realized, yeah, just shine spark when you enter the room to get to the opposite wall in the first room, and from there grapple beam underwater the whole way because you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels really great once you have that epiphany.
Yeah.
Yeah, you reminded me that at least two times during the game when you're doing the Shine Spark stuff, they know it's cool if you do it up, so they do cinematic camera angles for 2 moments.
Yeah, they do an under angle from 45 degrees to the left and then change it to 45 degrees to the right, just slow rotation.
Yeah.
It's real cool.
Yeah, they do that like the first time you get the Shine Spark where you can go straight up through an Emmy zone to get like an E-tank. And then during the escape sequence, during the very, very large climb up, you can do it there, and that feels amazing.
Yeah, it feels like that is basically Samus's superhero landing position.
Yeah.
It feels like her custom version of that.
They do a lot of really good Samus feels empowered moments, like even from the very first boss, when you take it out and the way they direct cutscenes to go, yes, she is very cool.
We know, she's very cool. She's very, very cool.
The way she reacts to Kraid might be the funniest thing in the game. Where she stares and then just shoots. Starts shooting mid-cutscene.
Like, okay, we're doing this again.
And it's like, we're doing this again, and also you're chained up. This is not helping you in any way.
Yeah, no, they did... Like, with the Emmy thing, I feel like they really did add a sense of running away from Mr. X or Nemesis energy to this game. I do agree with critics of the Emmy design. I do think the Emmys could be cooler, but that didn't impede the horror aspect to me because a giant spike comes out of its head and it extracts my DNA.
Right.
I thought they're... My only problem with their design is when, like, you got the Boo Berry Emmy.
And the boysenberry and the lime.
I don't think they needed to be colored like Mountain Dew flavors.
I don't know. I think that when they start having the funny colors, they become even more Mac-like.
Yeah. That's what makes it even scarier.
The final Emmy just has a giant CRT for head.
Yes.
It's like what's the blue one going to do? What's Blueberry got? Oh, I can't move.
I get that it's vaguely related to the power they give you, but most of the time you get a cutscene of them using the power. So it feels like, you know, you're just being chased by this, like, Char-Zaku-colored Emmy.
It's really funny to me because you have the gravity suit by the time you fight the bluish-purple one, and part of me went, I already have that power. What are you going to do? Turn me grape-flavored?
And give you a grape gun. That was also what screwed me up. The entire time I thought that thing was going to be the one that gives you the gravity suit.
Uh-huh. I think they know that. Yeah. They're just fucking with us.
And then they're like, no, it's just buried under the water instead.
You got plasma or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I wouldn't have liked the Emmys as much if they were not contained within a zone.
Or that would have sucked.
Or if they moved regularly. But the fact that they're in their sanctioned Emmy house.
Yes.
Ensures that I'm like, okay, we're coming up on that area. I get this, and I'm fine with it. I also like how they're the Federation's robots that are immediately like reprogrammed.
Yes,
like right from the start.
Okay, something I was really scared about story wise with this game would be that the Emmys would just turn out to be X's, like they got absorbed by the X parasites. Because in Fusion, they talk about the X like learning to integrate with the systems of the station.
Yeah, I was worried about this.
So I was really afraid it was going to be like, don't worry, Samus, we sent these super robots in to deal with the X. And it's like, oh, they all got fucking absorbed, and now the X have those robots.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the plot.
I was really afraid that was going to be the plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's completely understandable. I was like, uh-huh, you sent these robots out, and then something happened on the planet with possibly having the X.
Yeah, and instead of stupid bird, reprogram these robots.
That's fucking great.
Here's a question I want people's take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they want you to blow their heads off, and the ESRB said, no, that gets you an M?
The Emmy heads?
Yes, because you just blow a perfect little hole in their lens, and it feels like it should take off their head.
Yeah, it really should just eviscerate them the same way that one X gets eviscerated at the end of the game.
I have to wonder, like, not even ESRB, just Nintendo. They're like, hey, that thing was sentient a minute ago, and you just showed a graphic scene of its head getting blasted off.
Yeah, it seems like something that could be with the Sarah rating board, because I know they have that thing about
specifically. Oh yeah, they do have the thing about decapitation.
Oh my God, that's why there's no decapitation.
That's why there's no decapitations in the Japanese version of RE4.
I just wonder if... I would think that they'd avoid it by it being robots, though. Like, there's no even sign that it's not a robot.
But they're very sentient.
Yeah, they want it to be a bit more squeaky clean, where I could see a version of this where you blow their head off and then rip a part of them that gives you the power instead. It's...
And then you scream, get off, and crush it in your hand.
Yeah, you say get off, which... She does a get off at some point, where she does a grip toward the end of the game after beating some of those soldiers in 1v1s.
Yes, she has the left hand of power.
Yeah, she does the left hand of power, but I imagine a version of this where you blow their heads off and then you rip a thing out. But instead, this is like, you broke their light, and then they dissolve into energy.
Which is cool. I really like getting the abilities from them, except for on my repeated playthroughs where I can't skip the cutscene.
Yeah, that's the one thing with the repeat playthrough that's kind of rough.
I was like, okay. I can't skip this cutscene because I get a power. Then I hit the Aetheon energy power or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, or Aeon power. All of those, like the flash shifts and scanning and stuff, and you could skip all those cutscenes. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, and then you can't skip the tutorializer, which is weird.
Yeah, that intro is unskippable.
That too.
Yeah, that too. I would say that's first and foremost possibly the worst one of these, because that means every Metroid speedrun begins with mashing A for a couple minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if their category starts when you have control.
I hope that they patch that out.
That would be cool.
If we patch one thing in this game, it should be that.
Yeah, that would be cool if you could just patch a way to hit start during that. This is Nintendo, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
They see, one, apparently this thing was done for a while.
Right.
Two, they don't seem to patch a whole lot of their, like, second party games. Mm-hmm. Like, their first party games get a ton of updates, but, like, Link's Awakening and...
Yeah, I think there are like
a couple others. They just hold on to the game until it's done, and then they release it. And you don't see a whole lot of updates for those.
I'm trying to remember if Astral Chain ever got a patch. It might not have.
I think it got one.
Okay.
And I could not figure out what it did.
Yeah.
It must have been they found some terrible game-breaking bug, and they're like, oh, no.
Oh, no, please.
I thought it was really funny that you always have to beat the MacBook version of Mother Brain.
Yes.
To get the Omega Cannon.
Yes.
Because it's like very obviously like, oh, this is like the Hyper Beam in Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you get that when the baby absorbs all the power from Mother Brain and dies, and dust drops his little dust on you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's funny. It's like you get a temporary version of that by absorbing the power of this Mother Brain.
Yeah, it's really
or
cool.
This little thing.
Yeah, it's the central unit. Yeah, I enjoy their micro Mother Brain fight rooms, because Mother Brain's not good enough to be a boss. So building these tiny rooms that are like micro bosses out of Mother Brain is really, really great. A good throwback and a really cool thing of building out the lore, because Mother Brain's supposed to be an AI made by the Chozo. So these are just the laptop versions.
Yeah, it's a really neat way to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of neat evolutions of Metroid and other things. And not only the movement set in this game, like the abilities, but also the lore, like with Ravenbeak and Quiet Robe and all that stuff. There's something really funny about that conversation at the end where it's just like, you're a real badass. You definitely have Machin DNA in you.
I loved the ending reveal of Ravenbeak being the computer the whole time, because it puts him as a character in a totally new light of, yeah, he's the one on the phone telling you he's way cooler than you the whole game.
I know, it's so good! Okay, this game really juked me.
Oh, really?
Because partially because it was Mercury Steam.
Okay.
Because you get that scene where Adam is like, Samus, you can't fight the Emmys. Even if you were at full power, you still wouldn't be able to fight the Emmys. And in my head, I go, fucking Mercury Steam. This is like Lords of Shadow 2.
Yeah, the Emmys will look at you and you'll just get exploded into a cloud dust of fucking blood.
And the whole time, Adam shit talks Samus the whole game. And I'm like, what the fuck is this fucking AI's problem?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's like, your power level still. You're 8,000 years before you're ready to fight Birdman.
He's clearly owned you the first time. It wasn't even at all. It'd be one thousand chance to beat me.
Look, I'm just saying, Adam's voice is a little off. He should have been like, "Listen, Samus, there's no way you'll ever beat him. He's so powerful."
And now I also, have the power to clone a legion of genetic freaks.
It's also really smart that they have Adam call Samus Lady in the opening cutscene.
Yes.
And then never again. But you talk to Adam so infrequently that you probably won't notice.
I spent the whole game going, am I insane or are they setting up for Adam to not be Adam? Because the first fucking thing he says, he ends with Lady. Firstly, I need to give them some huge props, okay? Biggest, bestest writing decision in all of Metroid Dread. We're not getting paid enough for this. I'm like, they figured it out. She's a bounty hunter. They fucking figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, what I found out looking was that they always admit like she's a military contractor.
Yes.
And then, but they translated it as bounty hunter initially without understanding that was like a totally different thing.
The independence and cool mystique of Samus Aran is not very well maintained throughout the Metroid series.
Certainly not in Other M.
Excluding Prime, because you end up in Fusion where she's taking orders from a ship she borrowed to come save the Federation's problem, which ends up being Adam. And then Other M, which is a nightmare. So I'm not even going to get into that.
You reminded me, this isn't here or there, but Nintendo... Bring Samus's normal fucking ship back.
No, she's going to be flying this thing with Adam in it for the rest of time.
Transplant Adam into it. Her initial ship is like so much cooler looking and so iconic.
Yes.
And yeah. She just has this weird thing I don't give a shit about in this and in Fusion.
Yeah, I really hope that they get her a new ship back because this one is bad.
Yeah, this isn't a very iconic design. It sort of bleeds in with the rest. But I was going to say the intro, you know, they did that great thing of setting up that moment where he says, you know, the bounty isn't nearly high enough on this. And then immediately calling her Lady and telling her the reception in the core of the planet's really bad. So she needs to make sure to contact him as soon as she gets down there. And I'm like, holy shit, this entire game setting up for this. You can go watch our live stream. The moment they reveal that not only is that the case, he's literally behind the panel.
Which made you go, what if he's behind every panel in the ship?
I just lost it. I was like, this is goaty material.
You're like, I called this rules.
Yeah, no, I don't often go, here's the twist. And then when it happens, it is the twist exactly as I predicted, but executed in a way that's absolutely transcendent. That's some real Wizard of Oz shit right there.
Yeah, you don't really expect to shoot the same data room you've been in the whole game, and it's like, oh, this is a throne room?
The only thing that could have made that reveal better,
mm-hmm.
If Ravenbeak had a straight up, the rest of the soundtrack is normal. The Ravenbeak fight is the Metal Gear Rising soundtrack style. We just need a vocal theme to do that fight, which is very clearly inspired.
I'm imagining terrible lyrics screamed by those guys about squawking in space.
Yes!
He's talking about his flock. Which, one, I like how Adam is only in two scenes in this game, one at the start and one at the very end, when he's like, please don't press any buttons right now.
You're going to break fucking everything.
You're fucking crazy. But also that just immediately better characterized than he's ever been. Just off those opening lines of just don't do this. can we not go over here at all? I'm like, thank God.
He's like, yeah, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah. There are like seven fucking enemies down there.
You're being obviously baited. Can we not?
Mm-hmm.
No.
And the fact that they introduced this new enemy faction of just evil Chozo. And they're like, we're going to genocide this entire faction in one game.
It's really good. I'm glad.
They were already genocided. There was like three left.
Yeah, I know. The idea that it's like we're going to set them up in this game and throughout the game, they just get systematically fucked to the point where it's like, yeah, they're just ash by the end.
I really enjoy a Metroid game for the first time in forever exploring new territory. Like, it feels so fresh and good. Mm. This is especially appreciated after Fusion and Other M are almost identical on a writing level.
Yeah, this isn't like, oh, these areas are like old planets. It's like, this is a new planet.
Yeah, and I appreciate that so much. I appreciate not being sent to Sector 6, Zeebs-esque. I appreciate this being an actual planet and not a research station with rooms designed to look like rooms from other Metroid games. Like, that's great. That gives me a sense of exploration. That feels fresh and good. I wish I had never played Other M.
Yes.
If only.
We had a good running bit for years on the channel if we had blue tape on the Other M part of this poster. And now I can't even make the joke. It's such a bad game.
Yeah, you were like, get this out of my house right now.
It's fucking terrible.
I love the progression of this game's like story of the X. They're apparently here. We haven't encountered them yet. I think they might have just been bullshitting us about the X being here just to lure us here. Oh, they're here. They're everywhere. They have taken over every piece of life on this entire planet now. So you no longer get normal health pickups. It's back to the X parasite.
And you just fucking get that moment with Adam where it's basically like fucking Doom 2016, where he's just trying to be like, you need to not do that. Why did you let all of the X out? Everything's dead.
Oh, I thought you were thinking demonic invasion in progress.
I like that they don't frame it like that. They frame it like, no, Ravenpook let this out on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
He's a psychopath.
Yeah, and then it fucks him real bad right at the end, and then he becomes a Resident Evil boss.
That's true. Man, that super beam is incredible.
Yes.
They should have given me that for a normal playthrough for 100%ing absolutely everything and getting all the speedrun shit.
They're like,
that okay, would be unhinged.
They're like, yeah. Okay, new game plus, you can now do that, and you also get her final suit.
God. Also, it just erases the Emmys when you shoot them with it. You no longer have to engage with that mechanic.
They really should have said, those Emmys went missing. We're going to send a few advance, and they put that in the plot, but they only show up at the very end of the game. So, like, three of them drop in as you're escaping, and you just kill them immediately just for fun.
Yeah, I was telling Bob, and maybe this was because we played the entire No More Hero series through in, like, August or whatever. I was expecting at some point to super run through three of them.
I was really glad when one got completely trivialized in a cutscene. Like, that was enough for me.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, she's just powerful enough now. Just, it's dead.
Yeah.
That makes me really happy. I'm on Team Samus should basically be Doom Guy.
Yeah.
They agree.
Clearly.
They clearly agree with the amount of cut to her eyes and that entire end where she just has the most insanely angry fucking face.
I loved her like cocking her hand before she goes for the absorb.
Yes.
In the final boss.
It's real
good.
She
has to like turn it on.
I like every time she absorbs shit with her left hand, she then just holds up her hand, anime as fuck, and just clenches that fist.
Yep.
It's like, oh, that's good.
Made it extra satisfying for those last few fighting Chozo warriors that then become weird X things.
Yes.
That become body horror.
God, those fights. I don't even care that you do that fight like six times because it's so cool.
Yeah, no, it's a really good fight.
Yeah, they add mechanics to it each time. Like, it doesn't feel like the same fight.
And
yeah,
it doesn't run like shit like the arm blade fights.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the later portions of it decide, okay, well, now when it's in its goo mode, it's not going to shoot a beam. Oh, its final form, its shield can't be broken. You have to parry it and then grapple, rip it off.
Yeah, it's really good. I love how amazing the flash shift feels during fights. Because you're using it to dodge them doing a dive bomb. You're using it to dodge, like, projectiles lining up with you from both them and the final boss, because the final boss has that hyper beam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that is so cool to have this mechanic that can move you that huge amount of distance in such a short time. Mm-hmm. So you're playing chicken with the beam, staring at it as it readies on you to then go boink at the last second. It feels so good. I have no idea how they top this.
One thing I really enjoyed doing my like second playthrough and whatnot is learning how useful the running melee is.
Yes.
There are certain enemies that just kills.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can really figure out how to go through areas faster by just being like, no, I'm not even shooting anymore.
Yeah. Don't waste ammo.
Also, I found out on my latest playthrough, which I got under 3 hours.
Very nice.
It's rough to go through most of the game with 50 missiles or less than 50 missiles.
Oh, yeah.
It's really rough.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I kind of wish you could readjust the control scheme, because charging a beam and using flash shift is super hard. I have to, like, claw the controller.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that is the only thing. I wish this game had customizable controls. That's the only thing. One of the few things that I'm like, no one needs this.
And maybe this is big, dumb baby me talking, but I feel like it would have been neat for the charge beam eventually, like even as a toggleable thing, to just auto charge.
Yeah.
Yes.
I see newer games doing that as a, hey, we realize that's annoying.
There was very few times I wanted to fire uncharged.
Yeah. Right. Even doors, the required charge beam. I was like, I wish you were just always charging it.
Yeah, the amount of times in an Emmy room, I'm like, get to the door. And then I'm right in front of it. I go, tink, and it does nothing. And I go, oh, no.
There's also those doors that would just open more slowly in the Emmy zone. It's like, no.
You're like, come on.
Yeah, I had that happen one time. The enemy caught up to me, attacked me. I countered during that cutscene, and then it slid out underneath it. It was so fucking by the hair of my neck.
Yeah, there's so many bosses that are just like, no, regular shot's not gonna hit them. You need to do the charge shot. And I'm like, you're making me just want to use missiles only.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I only resort to the charge shot once I've spent every fucking missile.
Right.
Which, thank God this game has this missile storm. Because if it didn't, then, you know, like most, let me put it this way. In most Metroid games, especially Fusion and Zero Mission, you get a lot more missiles because you can fire them much faster than you can in this one. But that also means the missiles do less damage. This using the missile storm at least makes it so strategically, you don't always have to be perfectly lined up for a shot. You just have to be able to put a laser pointer on the enemy and later release it. Like, it feels like such an awesome way to do battles.
Yeah, I was stuck in a phase of always doing the stationary, you can't move with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I was trying to do the storm thing, and that's what led me to doing really well on my hard mode playthrough when I stopped doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hit that final boss, and it's like, I need some movement, but I really can't hold these targets for a while.
Yeah.
While dodging when you get to the later phase of the Ravenbeak fight, which in general I really, really enjoyed, especially the fact that my first time through, I'm like, oh, yes, this really long invincible form where I feel like he puts up counters less. And then on my hard mode playthrough, I learned you don't even have to put him in that mode at all, because he only pushes into that after he tries to do a big giant beam at you. So you just counter him 2 times before that, because you don't need to be shooting him ever.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, shooting him is what procs that specific phase. You can kind of just hold on to that for a while, which is really good when you're trying to conserve missiles so you don't run out.
Right, because you need to store those nuts for winter.
Yeah, the only time you should be shooting missiles before he busts out his wings is during a cutscene during a quick time event, which is one of my favorite parts of this game, is every counter, like, quick time event cutscene is just you unloading into the boss while a cool thing is playing at the same time.
Yeah, I do think it's really, really cool when they do that.
Yeah, those are basically straight from Devil May Cry 4, and they were great there, they're great here.
Yeah, I like any moment where you do something cool, but also allow me to do something while it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here, it's great, where it's like, sometimes it's hard to get a shot off on an enemy, so it immediately feels really satisfying, like when you parry Kraid, when that happens, and you're just unloading into his mouth.
Yeah, I one of the things I like about, especially the final boss fight, is he has that morph moth pattern, as I keep calling it, from Mega Man X2, where he sweeps the entire room with a giant projectile that will slowly just hit it, right? So you're trying to make the circle around him.
Yeah.
Mm. If you try to hit as wide as you can on the ground and just hold up while running underneath him, you can target him a few times with the missile storm. So the really ideal super fast runs on him are doing that while running away from the beam, and it feels really, really good. Like, I think that last boss fight is insanely well designed.
Yes.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
It's like some of the best boss fights that feel insurmountable the first time you fight them because it's the most insane thing you've ever seen. And then you get to figure out how every single move works, what's the proper spacing and the proper way to counter. Because he has that move that's like a large like area where only a cone below him is a part where you're not taking damage, and he will always follow up with punching you directly at close range.
Yep.
So you have to learn to dash in quickly for that, then double jump in the air and dash away, because don't dash away from him after that. He will still probably hit you.
He has, like, fucking Bardock-level move forward on his combo.
It is absurd.
I would have been okay if this dude was the last Smash character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this guy is cool.
Yeah, he's really good.
It's a shame that Nintendo, a company that doesn't really spin up new IPs all that often and relies on older characters much of the time, has created one of the coolest fucking Metroid characters right after they stopped making Smash characters.
I think, yes. Yeah, they finally made a character that can justify being a Smash rep.
Yes.
Currently, they've only had two, Samus and Ridley.
Yeah.
At most, they had different colored Samus.
Yeah, yeah, I think this guy obviously deserves it a lot more than Dark Samus. He's very cool design. He could have an amazing moveset.
Yeah, they could have. You know, there's so many moves. He has arguably too many moves. His final smash would him just be he just throw the sun at you.
God, that would be good.
God, that was. I really hope if they when they're obviously going to do a sequel to this because it's selling great. I need them to put iframes on the dash and then just use and just make bosses that expect you to do that.
Yeah, that was the thing that was tripping me up the whole game. I'm like, everyone's like, this is like a cool like action in the way like a Returnal is, and I'm like, no, because I can't dash through bullets in this game would be a 12.
I know you have the fucking ceiling lasers that move slowly, and every time I'm like, it's not firing yet. I could dash underneath it in time, and then it just goes boop. Nope.
Did you know that you can grapple those?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
I did not.
They have the tiniest bit of blue in the middle of them that twinkles. If you aim a grapple beam at them, you rip the crystal off, and it's just one of the leapers.
Oh, those things. Yeah, I was thinking of, like, some projectile, but yeah, those things, yeah.
Yeah, you can just rip the crystal out. It leaps at you, but it leaps at you so fast, you better know that's what it's going to do.
I learned those on hard mode. I died, like, 5 times.
It's really good.
They're like, start mashing counter now.
Yeah, basically.
That's how fast those things come at you, which, by the way, I did enjoy hard mode because it did the smart thing where they went, wait a minute, we can't make the enemies have more health because then it would be impossible. You'll run out of missiles. So the only thing we can do is make you take more damage. And I was like, thank God, because it made it, for the most part, a fairly pleasant like run through it because I had already, in normal mode, because I was getting my ass kicked on some bosses, learned how to not take a hit for most of the fight. So it kind of just made me command that type of skill set basically throughout every single boss, which could be a challenge at some points. Like, I had problems with the, like, flying, like, a beetle thing that puts an electric field around it. On normal mode, I kind of just damage boosted my way through that dude. Here, I took 2 hits and died, so I had to learn how to properly dodge every single one of its moves to do the missile swarm stuff. But, yeah, this was a hard mode where I didn't feel like I was wasting my time or getting upset while playing it, which is better than 90% of all hard modes of video games.
Yeah, I feel like they increase the health on some of the enemies, or maybe all of them, like, very slightly, like 15% maybe. Yeah. Thank God, because, like, Mercury Steam, they made the Lords of Shadow games. You know, when I think of bad action games, which is, you know, my opinion of that, I think of hard modes where it's just the enemy's health bar is 3 times as long.
Yeah.
Really glad this didn't fall into that trap, that this feels like a cool way to play it all.
Yeah, when I felt myself doing the exact same patterns, like, it took me a while to take down, like, the experiment boss or Ravenbeak my first playthrough. When I did those fights again and it felt like it took just as long and just as many resources, I'm like, they nailed it. I don't feel like I hate longer drawn-out fights for a hard mode. I kind of want it to be the same, but commanding more of a mastery over my current tools and like awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anything, I want it to go faster, not longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was hoping that it'd be more, because it really is just kind of this mode where you have to not take a hit, which is fine. I think it's actually a smart idea for this, but it would have been cool to see like a mode where we got new placements for enemies and bosses had like a new attack.
I think
something
it's
like that.
I think it's really funny coming into Kraid with full health. Kraid punches you and it's like, I have 40 health left.
Yes.
Kraid's so strong.
Oh yeah, Kraid was like my first thing of like, should I go find the bombs?
I too had that thought.
I had that moment of like, wait a minute, because I'd never survived. There's the part in Kraid's second phase where you have to like shoot his belly button and then you climb up.
Yes.
Whenever he throws his fingernails at you, I'd always get hit by one and fall my first try, so I'd never lived up there long enough to know that he punches you and that kills you on hard mode.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait a minute. Should I go get the bombs? Because this is feeling a little scary.
You can go watch our first playthrough on stream, and I'm just sitting there and Bob's watching as I keep forgetting, hold L to delicately aim at the nails.
Yes.
I keep getting hit down and I'm like, I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry. I'm not used to this.
Yeah, I was very much hammered in with the, oh, that we're staying in the same spot. All right, hold R and L in the back. We're just going to go up and down. But for those nails, you have to switch off missiles, I feel like, to get a better form of spread.
Yeah.
To be able to hit them and shoot them faster. Because if you can mash, you can really melt some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I had to get into that mode of knowing to switch to the regular blaster for those sections, because the missiles just weren't doing the job. They didn't have a fast enough fire rate, because the fire rate on that does go down over time throughout the game. Like I kind of started noticing it when you're fighting those mother brain things, where at the start of the game you shoot a lot of missiles really fast, but then they slow them down slightly because they're little neutron bombs by the end,
right? Yeah,
filled with ice and other things.
Yeah, which is an interesting change, as I was mentioning before, from prior Metroids like Zero Mission and Fusion, where you can shoot them really fucking fast.
I saw in Fusion they did the same thing where it's like, oh,
you can charge it. You can charge it with R in that, and that's how you do the super explosion.
I thought it just took a longer, or like they shot slower. At least that's what chat was saying, I could have sworn.
No, I think it has an acceleration ramp on the movement. But I think the rate of fire is the same, which is still higher than this game.
I wouldn't be shocked if they just go, the super missiles make them slower even in both games, just from the fact that Zero Mission had a delineation between missile types.
Yes.
But this one is just like Fusion, where they're like, your missile's just better. Your missile just gets stronger later, which I'm like, that's good. You probably don't want people cycling between types.
Yeah, no, that was...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense from a gameplay perspective, but I miss Super Metroid, where I would shoot Ridley in the head with a super missile and his whole head would snap back on, like, his giraffe neck.
Yes.
I would have liked a different visual on the missiles forever, because they end up just kind of looking the same until you get the ice version, where it's like it's missiles with an ice texture on it. I would have loved if they just forever became giant green bazookas.
Yeah, that would have been cool. I think it would be neat if we did get a return to missiles being more impactful, like just normal missiles visually and elsewise. But I do appreciate that the longer trend of the Metroid series has been, let's never ask the player to toggle as much as they did in Super ever again. Because Super puts everything in a row. It's like, did you want the power bomb or the X-ray or the grapple beam and the super missile? And I'm like, oh my god.
Have you always been able to like reveal blocks of what type you need to break them with the missiles?
You have, as far as I remember, which we just did Metroid Month, but as far as I remember, you know, you do that many in a row, it bleeds together. As far as I remember, it was not always the case.
So yeah.
I think the bomb would always do it.
I think that Fusion started it, I think.
Yeah,
but I'm not 100%.
Because I went into it thinking, is this a quality of life feature where I'm able to shoot with the missile and go, oh, this is a speed boosting thing. Okay, now I understand.
I like the change for this for sure is once you reveal it, it's always revealed.
Yes, which is appreciated.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that stuff's really, really like smart. where it's like, I don't have to, I feel like I can't think of like a specific example, but there have been things of, I did this thing on the map that feels minor, but stays. Mm-hmm. And I can go through a few rooms, come back, and it's just like that. And I didn't have to like,
yeah, if you just lead a speed booster thing, it's just gone.
Yeah.
Forever, which is good.
There are a lot of things like that in the game where it's just like you break it once and it's gone.
Yeah, which I definitely appreciate it because I feel like it helps my mental mapping of the area help a bit more when I've cleared the obstacles permanently.
Yes. Real quick, my favorite thing in this game, because I'm positive you cannot do this, and because Fiel was asking earlier, and I think I misunderstood his question. Fiel, you can't use the speed booster and then do a wall jump and continue your momentum. You could store it as a shine spark and do a wall jump and then execute it elsewhere. But in the older Metroid games, you couldn't just keep running and wall jumping, which is my favorite evolution here, of shine spark puzzles.
Yeah, there's that clip of the one puzzle they want you to do of run, slide, wall jump up a long distance and then store it and then shoot up into a thing.
Yep.
That's just like, yeah, you get it. You understand exactly what type speed boosting shine spark puzzles are like a key thing to show the skill ceiling of these games.
Yeah, it makes it its own challenge.
Yeah, and you don't have to do any of them because I did none of them on my first playthrough.
Yeah.
That's true.
And still,
I think that's a really good decision.
Yeah, and I still came out with like 150 missiles. So it just...
Yeah, if anything, I would say they put mostly power bombs, missile two, and a fourth of an energy tank behind the really hard puzzles. So that way you can beat the game and not be like, my health bar's half of what it should be.
Yeah, they put maybe three or four like missile tank pluses in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, like it's so smart that it's like, okay, this game has this really high execution platforming challenges if you want to get 100%.
Right.
We don't actually make you do any of them because I've played a lot of Metroidvanias. I feel like the ones that if it degrade into, okay, here's a high execution puzzle room, or not, here's a high execution platform room, are like the worst ones.
I don't know. It's really funny whenever Circle the Moon's like, congratulations, you get five more hearts. And I feel like that sort of comes from a space of the older Metroid games where it'd be like you finish the game and you have 400 missiles. In this, you don't get enough missiles where at any point it stops feeling good. However, in what world do I need 15 power bombs?
Yeah, fucking Bob finished 100% and both you and me separately went, what the fuck do you mean there are 15 power bombs?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Honestly, like, I think 150 is plenty missiles.
Yeah.
Like, I can burn over 200 on a boss, believe me.
Okay.
You can have some fun, but because you go through phases, they give you like 30 back.
Yes, right, exactly. And that's another great thing we haven't brought up. Most phases on most bosses will, or every phase on every boss, gives you missiles back.
And some health.
Yes.
Which makes that final boss perfect, because that boss is constantly throwing a ball at you that gives you missiles and health back.
Yeah.
To where if you get good at that, you come out of the last phase with more health than you had halfway into the fight.
This is the only Metroid game I've ever finished and thought, oh, they need a boss rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't finish it. Hell yeah, they do. I'd like to try.
I would totally get into that because I
would love to beat that.
Like, I got pretty much perfect at these bosses.
Yeah, and it feels so good. It feels so good to get to that point and... This really does feel like, you know, Harmony of Dissonance. Like, the boss rush was the best part of that game.
Yeah.
Like, the bosses in that game are elevated so much above everything else. And while this game is a joy to play through, I love fighting the bosses. I want to be able to refight them easily, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm fairly proficient with most of them, except for those Guardian dudes that ruin the frame rate. I'm so bad at those dudes because they're like, okay, their counterable thing has the smallest window. Their red one has the most annoying hitbox on Earth.
I don't even try to counter them anymore. If you do the missile swarm right, I think the gold takes four and the silver takes two.
I just think about my hard mode playthrough where the most deaths I think I had in the entire game is when you meet the Quiet Robe and then you fight one of those dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is two hits. You are ridiculous.
Yeah, for some reason, almost all the hitboxes in this seem totally reasonable and good, except for that one explosion those guys do.
Yeah, it's so much outside of what they hit.
It's like, a fucking Aqua Teen Dr. Weird intro. He just goes, don't touch that, and shoots shit at you on frame one.
Yeah, that red attack where I'm like, sometimes it will immediately go off.
Yes.
Sometimes it won't, and then I just go, what did I do?
Yeah,
what do you want from me? Like, I have to jump really high and dash up.
Like, I understand the whole point with the design of those characters is you're always supposed to jump slightly above them and flash shift past them behind them to start doing missiles.
Right.
But as you said, sometimes it's just frame one.
That attack is so weird because sometimes there is like a charge up frame where it's like, okay, I can see the cat coming, I can get over him. And other times it's like, no, he's doing it.
And that's like the only boss in this game that I will honestly say has any flaws.
Yeah, it's the one that feels more unpredictable with that move, which I feel like hurts it a bit and kind of makes it a nightmare that when my first playthrough, when they're like, you're fighting two now, I'm like, why would you do that?
I won't lie, had a mild anxiety attack, but also felt like, hell yeah, let's do this.
But then I used the missile swarm, went, oh, I get it. I understand now, but also damn you, they won't stop moving.
Because they put that after the missile storm, I totally get it. Because it's like, if you do this, they just die. They melt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a couple of those sets. The challenge then becomes getting all of them on them and firing before they've appeared in your ass.
Yeah, plus it's the first boss fight I think you do after getting the missile swarm.
Right.
So it's like you've had zero time to prepare mentally.
Yeah, you're making your way back to a door that has it. And then they're like, this room, two of them jump in, which... Those boss intros are really good. I think the best one is when you fight one of the soldiers that is in the foreground.
Yes.
And he like looks at you, then jumps in, and I'm like, that's fucking great.
It is really damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
This game is really great in a number of ways. I will say, playing on headphones, I had a stronger appreciation for the soundtrack. There are some songs in it that are really good. Overall, though, not the most amazing soundtrack. You're not going to walk away being like, I have 8 favorite Metroid 3 themes, and they're all from Dread.
Yeah, it does seem more atmospheric.
Yeah.
I think I have 4 different songs that are, like, my favorites in the game, and that's pretty good, because Metroid 2 only has 2.
Some would say 0.
They'd be wrong. That intro theme's great. Fire the cannons.
Oh, God.
But yeah, overall, I wouldn't say the music's bad, but it is a lot more ambient, you know?
From what I looked, it's the same composer that's been working on, like, the last, like, 6 games or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been the same person, at least, but they went for something a little bit different. But I really appreciated, like, the Emmy theme in this a good bit, and I also liked the final boss theme, I think, really elevates that, especially when you start going crazy at the very in the last cutscene.
Yeah, both of those themes are really good. I like how the Emmy theme sounds like a mix between a rave house techno mix from like the aughts and a Panic Attack.
Yes, which is exactly the vibe I have when I'm like, oh, okay, I parried it correctly. I just jumped wrong, so I just jumped on top of him after successfully parrying him. I'm doing it again.
Those two themes I really like. I like the second Artaria theme. Weirdly enough, that was the theme that reminded me of the one great song in all of Infamous One's soundtrack. And I was like, that's crazy. How similar are those songs? I went back and listened. I'm like, okay, I get why I would think they're similar enough. I really like the cover of the Super Metroid intro theme in the intro of this. I think that's a good cover.
Yeah, every theme that plays during like a lore explanation thing, like when you talk to Old Robe.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, when they start playing that theme and then they have Samus's only dialogue that isn't screaming through their language and they start playing that theme, I'm like, oh man, this is great.
Yeah, it was real.
Yeah, this is great.
This hero is vibes.
This is some fantastic like plot progression.
Yes.
Going here.
I appreciate that. It was really funny coming from the other Metroid games where Fusion, if you recall the main theme of Fusion, it's like for the main lobby area, starts spooky and then goes heroic for no reason.
It kind of just goes through like roller coaster humps.
It's like a Beck song. It kind of got lost at some point and had to make up an ending.
Soundtrack is Beck.
but I I really, like, they use the heroic vibes in this perfectly, especially for that moment when you're talking to Quiet Robe.
Okay, Quiet Robe, not Old Robe.
No, still, you're mixing up. Funny name. You're mixing up Quiet Robe and Old Bird.
Yes,
I love Chozo names. They're all so bad. What was it? Yeah. Bosman's playing this, Kyle Bosman, and when he hit the part where he's called Ravenbeak, he's like, "Why? You're an alien species, and his name's Ravenbeak. What is with that?" And I'm like, "Oh, he doesn't know about Old Bird."
Yeah, when I heard that, I went, "This is like some name from Ori." When I'm playing that thing, where it's like. Evil Claw or some shit where I'm like, all right, this sounds like something you would use in an animated movie from 1994.
Exactly. Everyone loves the two-word adjective noun name for a character.
We gotta bust that out.
Yeah, now it's good.
I realized something, and then I saw other people realizing where it's funny that if you switched Fusion and Dread's names for their games, I feel like it would fit slightly better. Where it's like, this really is a Metroid Fusion. Where the entire game's thing is, yeah, you're slowly just becoming a Metroid entirely.
That is true.
Yeah, where I was like...
I mean, you get injected with the Metroid Infusion.
Infusion,
so,
yes.
And so your whole suit's all messed up.
You get the Metroid vaccine.
Yes.
Yeah, you are Ravenbeak is not vaccinated.
That's true. We solved that.
Yeah, that was definitely really...
We disinfected him.
Yeah, you used his claws to rip his mask off.
Very rude, actually.
It was very unfortunate. But I just kind of like the progressive... Like, oh yeah, they really lean into what you would do to follow up that last game.
Yes.
It's like, you can tell they love the idea of Metroid Fusion so much.
Yeah, I do too. Like, the SAX is great. The idea of the Metroid vaccine's incredible. The X-Parasite's really cool. Yeah. I like all the Chozo lore that comes out around that.
Yeah.
And the fact this smartly progresses these concepts.
Yes, I loved immediately when the X take over because picking them up are so much more appealing than picking up purple orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, just from like a pure gameplay perspective, Samus being able to absorb the things she kills to get a new progression ability is like, eventually you're going to run out of Chozo ruins. Eventually, Samus will be on a planet that doesn't have those.
Yeah.
So it's good that she has a way to acquire abilities otherwise.
It's okay, Phil. We'll just be on a research station.
No.
That'll have then, computers.
No.
We can download being cool.
God. Stop that.
Is the white parts on the suit in this the implication that, like, the Federation helped her fix it, and they're, like, the same shit that's on the Emmys?
I assume, like, similar alloys were used, because, of course, they did surgery on her infusion. You know, just the, yeah, your suit was full of infected goop. So I assume to some extent, yeah, her suit had to have been worked on. To some extent, by the Federation. So that checks out to me.
Yeah, get that fixed up.
Really love all the suits in this. They all look really good.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Really highlighted through the loading screens whenever you're taking the train or taking the elevator, and they're like, we just made this animation of just her on the elevator, and you get to see how good the gravity suit looks.
I really love, like, most of the time when you look at her helmet, you can't see her face, but you can see a gleam of light over the bridge of her nose. They specifically put that line there, and I'm like, that's so good. That's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be one of those Nintendo sent notes moments, because if you recall with Factor 5, when they were working on a Kid Icarus game, Nintendo's like, this is how we think your model should look. They just set a whole fucking model for Pit, and they're like, no, we're fine. Weirdly enough, that game got canceled. Very strange.
Yeah, maybe. Poor Factor 5.
Yes, I miss Factor 5, to be clear, but it's a very funny anecdote.
They made some real dumb decisions. Yes, the end.
Yes, they did.
As much as I'm not interested in that Kid Icarus thing, man, the fucking thought of an open world Pilot Wings is really cool. I wish anyone in the industry would tackle that.
Yeah.
Great.
Other than Ubisoft.
Yeah, absolutely. Riders Republic.
Yeah, exactly. Riders Republic is the closest they're going to get to that. And I'm like, please don't go any further.
I don't know if we talked about this. I love how they designed the map in this a bunch, like in general, where it's you get a new power. Okay, what do I do now? Well, I look at every area on my way back or forward that used it, and it'll eventually thoughtfully lead me to a teleporter that'll bring me to that next area, or I easily run back to the previous area, and then that leads to something. I feel like it naturally leads to you getting lost less, unless you don't trust the game like I did, and then you just start going backward and not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened to us on our first playthrough for sure, where you start second thinking the game, you start second guessing it. I mean, we didn't even get the teleporter to take us back to the first world, the first map, Artaria, on our first playthrough. We just walked.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a logical and organic flow to everything throughout the entire game if you just pay attention to clues and trust the game.
Yeah.
This might be like the best designed game like this ever in terms of being able to figure out where you're supposed to go. I have trouble thinking of any game that didn't like smoothly guided me more than this.
Yeah, it's amazing because I think this strikes the best balance the series has had in giving you a sense of exploration, but also giving you enough to know where to go.
Yes, because it's not telling you, but if you look at the map and you travel through an area and you remember those moments where it's like, I couldn't open that door because it had three lights on it, or there was a blue triangle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're on your way back, you're like, oh, this is like snaking my way back, and oh, this teleports here. This is a part I couldn't even get to before, and it all comes off like really expertly intelligent and didn't involve me going to a data room to be told to go to that area, or even what Zero Mission did of the game just randomly, because you sat on like a Chozo statue, go up to that unmapped yes. portion. You don't even need that in this.
Yeah, no, this just does it really well. I think my favorite part of the organic flow was when you get the speed run and you immediately open up a grapple point, but you don't have the grapple beam yet. So you sit there and you go, okay, keep that in mind. You run, you do the everything else with the speed booster. And then you start thinking, I got to make my way past there. Hey, where's this ball shoot go? You jump in it and just goes, dunk, and you're now like three rooms from there. I was like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, it all feels like so well thought out. But it still has some of that Metroid stuff where you start the game and you're like, I'm trapped. Oh, I have to shoot the ceiling. I'm glad the spirit of the series is still there. I'm just like, am I stuck? It's like, no, they wanted you to shoot the floor right there.
Yeah, you can see there's a walkable area above you. You see enemies and stuff there. Have you tried shooting it?
Yeah, and then I look and I'm like, oh, that one part of the terrain is lightened or tinted in just yes. a certain way where it's like, clearly if you look at it and don't like let the entire screen blend together in your mind, they're clearly pointing out you should probably just shoot bullets there.
And they eventually give you the pulse scan, so that way then they could do the original ass Metroid thing of, this terrain's indecipherable, you better scan.
Yeah, I think that's really smart that you play maybe over half this game before getting that, and you don't feel bad about it because this map was designed well.
Yeah, I think it's like 80% even.
Yeah, it's somewhere up there. I was going to say 70, but yeah, 70, 80% of this game, you don't get that pull shift, which is great because for people who didn't play Samus Returns, you get that really early. It's like the second or third power.
Yeah, I don't feel like you even need it at all unless you were 100%ing it, because it's just, you know.
Because it's visually designed.
Yeah, right? The map is smartly designed in such a way that you can figure things out on your own, and they slowly teach you the things you would naturally do. It's like, you're going to shoot things. You're going to shoot a missile to know that you need that block, and you don't necessarily need it, but for 100%ing, absolutely.
The thing I love about this is I'm convinced Nintendo didn't realize how huge of a hit this would be. Because they did this thing they don't do with any of their other franchises.
Market it?
They do that with their other franchises, but not Metroid.
This is the first for Metroid.
That they put marketing weight behind.
Yeah,
maybe Prime 1. I feel like Prime 1
Prime
got some
1 definitely. Prime 1 and Fusion coming out on the same day made marketing easy, you know?
See, that was harder for me because I wasn't old enough to watch marketing.
Right. Yeah, no, they had ads running for both. In magazines and stuff.
Oh, but yeah, that makes sense, because they also had you can get the Fusion suit in Prime 1.
Yes.
If you, like, link them together.
Yeah, they came out 2 days apart. They were definitely a combo deal. I got Fusion. I did not get Prime. Why? I do not know. Handsome Joe got Prime. He let me borrow it. But what I was going to say is they let Mercury Steam do this thing no other dev gets to do, Bob.
Yeah.
They let them make two in a franchise in 3 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
No one else gets to do that.
Maybe they can do that again.
I honestly, I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, do it again.
Yeah, please.
You know, fucking, I don't. This was so good.
It would be great if, like, 2.5 years from now, they do a Nintendo Direct and then they do it again where they're like, Metroid 6.
They're like, here's Metroid 6. Sorry about Prime 4 still not being out. And I'm like, no!
It's okay. We have a remaster of Metroid Prime 1 that is out by now.
It would, one, that would be cool as shit if it was on the next Switch. Let me be clear, because I'm sure the next Switch's power profile will be so good. Like,
yeah.
Dread looks great. Metroid Prime is always like this gorgeous game made by wizards.
Yes.
So the thought of being like, yeah, next gen Switch, just a remaster one, that would be fine by me. But I think Dread coming out elevates the standard, I think, for Prime 4, where Prime 4 could have come out without Dread coming out, and it would have been like, yeah, we got another Prime, and that's good enough, right?
Mm.
Now it's like, this needs to be as good as Prime 1 again, because Dread is the best 2D Metroid, in my opinion. So it's just like, this is good. I really hope Nintendo gives Retro like $100 million. I want Prime 4 to be excellent. I want it to be as immaculate as Dread. I'm so excited.
I feel like nothing shows that they really want Prime 4 to hit than them at first going, all right, we're going to split it among a bunch of studios, including some Bamco things, then going, wait, this isn't working. Let's start over and then give it to the studio that made it.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have just kept doing the One Nightmare thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And then like punched polish into it until it was like maybe a 7 or low 8.
Right.
But now they're like, no, start from scratch, and bringing it to a core studio that we own all of.
Mm-hmm. I have to wonder if part of it is like they saw early work on Dread and was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And I'm like, oh no, we need to stop some things.
We're gonna have to stop mistreating this franchise.
They're like, here's where we push the store, and they're like, oh, what if we placed it after? What if we placed it after Dread? So it's like,
please, sir.
So it's like they could make a Prime 4 and a 5 that like take place in a pocket between like Metroid 5 and Metroid 6, like what they did for those first set of Prime games.
Yeah.
That would be like pretty smart.
I'm so excited for Prime, and I'm excited to see what else is going to happen with Mercury Steam and Nintendo. I feel like Nintendo really improved Mercury Steam. Like, all of their games before Samus Returns seemed like they sobered up.
As you described on stream, some bitches change people.
Yeah, some people are going to be total fuck-ups, but some bitches, they change people. That bitch, Nintendo.
Yes.
They absolutely made Mercury Steam sober up. This game's immaculate. It's so fucking good. I cannot believe how good this game is. Because I was sitting there, I played Samus Returns, and I'm like, wow, this is like a really great Metroid game. I wish it ran at 60 and wasn't on the 3DS. Then I could give it like good numbers.
Right.
But then, well, here we are.
But this is so far beyond Samus Returns.
Yes.
Part of me is like, I really wish they would just port Samus Returns. I'm okay with that being their next thing, but man, Dread's so much better. Nobody's going to appreciate Samus Returns after Dread.
Yeah.
I don't think, Bob, you played that game with me. Do you think people are going to be
I think there'd still be people who appreciate it because it feels like a more retro take on Metroid. Like, hey, there's none of the X stuff. Here's a bunch of classic stuff. It's all about Metroids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's still a large appeal for that.
And then they can make the baby Metroids not fucking difficult as shit to hit the weak spot on for no goddamn reason. Because if you recall, they made the Metroid fights in Samus Returns weirdly difficult for something you fight 43 times.
I don't remember, like, the regular Metroid, the normal one. That was fine in Returns. It was AM2R is like, no, I made the normal Lilith baby level ones hard.
And then it was
like, kill me.
And then it was everything above the baby in Samus Returns. That was just ridiculous because they absolutely got...
Yeah, some of the above the baby.
I enjoy fighting it, right?
Uh-huh.
At no point did I say this is terrible, but you gotta fight 43 of them, so yeah. It feels like digging your way out of prison with a spoon.
It is like horribly crippled by being Metroid 2.
It's terminal.
I enjoy Metroid 2 in the original context of baby Metroid. You point missile at them and fire a few times and the boss fight's over in 4 seconds.
But yeah.
Yeah, they certainly made that a longer game. I would enjoy a port of some sort. I would like more people to try that game. Dread's so incredible. One of the first things I did after we beat Dreaded, I was like, you guys need to understand, this is the best Metroid game in my opinion. If you're holding back because you're scared, don't. Go play this game. Metroid Dread is incredible. I know there was a lot of reason to be skeptical, because it's Mercury Steam, it's modern Metroid, all these other things, but this thing really just passed with flying colors. Bob, did you think we would enter a world where Mega Man is getting nowhere near the treatment of Metroid?
Yeah, that's weird.
Weird. Pretty soon, like, F-Zero is going to start clowning on Gran Turismo.
I mean, Mega Man 11 was great.
It was, and that was years ago, the needle hasn't moved at all.
I know.
And it's really bizarre and weird.
And yeah, like with Metroid, we know there is Prime in the works, and this one ended with See You Next Mission, whereas Mega Man 11 doesn't give it that confidence.
it
might be well fridged again.
Yeah, everything that came out of Capcom made it sound like we were doing things that didn't go well. Now we're praying for a Battle Network collection. That's the point we're at. We're like, please. Oh, and there's a mobile game.
And it's like Metroid 11 is the best selling. Mega Man 11 is the best selling Mega Man game. Nothing.
Yeah. But yeah. Now this game was really really great. Did anyone else have any specific anecdotes they wanted to get into?
I'm tapped out.
Yeah, we've been going for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only complaint to have are really nitpicky. Like. Yeah. Like, stop for going for 100%.
Yeah.
The map, all the colors are too faded. It's hard to see. It's hard to tell the difference between an icon that says, here's a missile here, and there's a missile here that you've picked up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
the shading difference is almost non-existent.
Yeah, it's not. It's not very.
It should be like good. A check mark over, like a slash through it.
Yes, absolutely.
It should be something super easy to see from a mile away.
Real quick, because I need to bury it here at the end.
Okay.
I showed Casey. He didn't know this feature existed. I didn't know it existed until my third or fourth playthrough. Did you guys know you could pull up the map, highlight any icon, hit the Y button, and it will light up all of the icons of the same type on the entire map?
No! Yes.
I did notice that on my hard mode playthrough, but I did it once, then immediately forgot.
I was like, this is a cool fucking feature.
You're like, do that, light up all of the doors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's...
You know, I found that out for the pickups. I didn't notice it works on the doors. That helps a lot more.
Oh, also, second favorite really cool thing... You know, if you get the last teleporter, you can now teleport between all of them, and you get to choose which one.
You know, it's not even if you get the last one.
It's just if you beat the game?
I think so, because I was able to teleport to places I'd never been before.
Oh, yeah, no, that shit's real cool. I teleported into the core of a place I've never been that was full of lava and pissed as hell. I was like, yo, I'm in hell. This is cool. Yeah, that's a great quality of life feature. You know, we spent that game being like, I remember in our first playthrough, out loud, we talk about.
Yes. Like, I wonder if these teleporters all link at the end.
Yeah, I was like, it's cool that they link to specific ones because now it's a progression thing. You find this teleporter, it takes you to a new area in that region and etc. But then we talked about the disadvantage of it. If it stays like that, then traversing this entire gigantic map, which this might be the largest in any Metroid. I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah, I feel like there's only like one area I felt became less traversable by the end of the game, because you do so many, sometimes in this game you'll do a thing like, oh, I pull down this ledge,
yes,
and it'll block off another direction.
Yes, I know exactly which one you're talking about as you say this.
Yeah, there's like one point in the game where that makes one of the maps really annoying to traverse.
Yes, I know exactly which one you're talking about. They should have put two teleporters in that place.
Yes.
I think there's only one, and it really frustrated me. I can't remember exactly which region it was in, but it was either Ilun or Hanubia, I think.
It's one of those. Yeah, I'm really bad at these names.
It's one of the really, really late game ones. Hey, man, I'm just happy we have names.
Yeah, it's no longer Sector 5.
Right, and that's where we left the series off twice in a row, and oh boy. Yeah, it feels like every area in this is the size of two Super Metroid maps on top of each other, because everything's so dense. You know, if you look at some of the older Metroid games map layouts, long hallways. A lot of it is just really horizontal lines.
Yeah.
This, it's like, no, it's a giant block, and you traverse through it in a really intricate way. So,
I just thinking of that Metroid manga where it's goofy and Samus is marking up her map for Super Metroid. It's like, there's a circle thing here. It's good. I couldn't get the circle thing here. It's like, this map is useless.
Yeah, where she's obsessed with round things.
Yes.
Yeah, I said everything I wanted to say about it. I think the only nitpick I had is that frame one completely uncounterable arm blade. That's it. I don't even hate fighting that guy, but it is really frustrating that that's the only boss in the entire game that's like got even a tiny nick in its armor, you know?
Yeah.
Field, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Nope.
You're good, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we should wrap things up. This is going to be the part where we say two or three sentences, wrapping up how we felt about it, and then give it a score out of 10. We'll go ahead and start with KZ.
Metroid Dread is a really good triumph for this series and for Nintendo in general. It joins the likes of Mario and Zelda, where it got a Switch entry that is basically like the definitive game for that series, where it's like, you delivered something truly spectacular for this franchise, made even better for Metroid in that it almost never gets games.
Yeah.
So it makes it truly, truly like exceptional. This is a 10 for me. I was not expecting to enjoy it that much because I don't really like Metroid that much. Like, I enjoy it, but I prefer like the Castlevania stuff, but this really added some new layers and is probably the smartest designed one they've ever done.
We'll next move to Bob.
Yeah, this game's kind of crazy. I've been sitting here like going between 9 and 10 in my head for a long time just because I have these little things I don't like about it, but I feel like a 10 doesn't need to be absolutely perfect, infallible.
No.
This is the best Metroid game. Like, yeah. Just by far. In a way that I could not see coming.
No.
Like,
you would have to be insane to be like, Mercury Steam will release on the Nintendo Switch the best Metroid game ever made.
Yeah, I even liked Returns a good bit. I didn't think they'd step it up this much.
Me neither.
This is absurd. It's one of the best looking games on the Switch. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a 10.
Okay. Feel?
This game is fantastic. I like it a lot. It's definitely the best Metroid game. I'm only going to give it a 9 because I can really easily envision ways it could be even better. Like, they could really go even more in on the action angle on the boss fights, give that dash iframes, and force you to use it to phase through things. and just go sicko mode. Like that shit with the sun at the end could be like the midpoint of the game.
I do find it funny that they designed the sun the way it is, but then you have a power bomb to negate it. Like, I was just trying to space jump through its projectiles while dealing with the final boss of this game. I'm like, man, they're on cocaine.
Yeah, I beat it without knowing you could power bomb it. I was like, oh, this is sick.
Yeah, no, it gave me some strong Housemarque vibes.
Yeah, I was even saying, like, yeah, they give her the power to control Metroids at the end. She could get a Devil Trigger for the next one, and
yeah,
it'd make the game even more insane.
That would be actually insane. Okay, Samus, these are the Metroid doors. You can only rip them down when you become the Metroid.
God, no.
Wolf doors. Metroid Dread is genuinely immaculate. I feel the way Bob said when he was talking about, like, there are small things, right? Like, but at the end of the day, I would have to be insane to give this game a 9 because I thought doing the red attack from that one mini boss from frame one and the soundtrack not being as amazing as Super's disqualified it from being a 10. I came into this game praying, hoping they landed this ship and it got a 9. That was my expectation. I was like, maybe based on my experience really enjoying Samus Returns despite the frame rate and everything else and all this footage I'm seeing from Dread, if they knock it out of the fucking park, they get a 9. This game, I feel like, absolutely perfect. Spoilers, this is my game of the year. This is such a great game. I played through it 4 fucking times, 100% of it, and I'm looking forward to my next run. The only things I need is skipping that intro into boss rush mode. That is it. It's a really great time. I cannot imagine. I never predicted a Metroid game this amazing coming out. I'm just so happy. I really am. They made the sleekest Metroid game ever with all these brilliant designs for mechanics and map flow and everything. It really is truly great. So that brings our score to a 39.
Whew.
The only things that beat it are perfect scores, including Devil May Cry 5 and 13 Sentinels.
Yes. Keep in mind, going on the Famitsu scale, that means we got at least $500,000 from Nintendo.
That is true, but we didn't get Nintendog's money.
No one can get Nintendog's money anymore.
Now, I appreciate mm-hmm. that every single year we do podcasts, there's at least one game that we can come together and be like, yeah, it's a 38 to a 40.
Yeah, no, that feels great. I think gaming's the best space it's been in for a really long time. Yep. I feel like 7th Gen was real dip. Other M was 7th Gen for people who don't remember. 8th Gen really felt like everything's getting better. And now that we're here at the end of 8th, the beginning of 9th, it's so good.
Yeah, I feel like if we started doing these even 1 year earlier, we wouldn't be able to say that.
Yeah, I feel like it would have been harder for sure.
Yeah.
It would have been harder,
sure,
but
I'm
yeah.
I'm sure this, there was something until like 2018 had Spider-Man, and so that probably would have done pretty good.
I feel like Spider-Man wouldn't get a 40. It might have gotten a 38 from us. I would have gotten a 10. That's my favorite PS4 game, which shocked the shit out of me.
Yeah. The time it came out, I could easily see myself going into at lowest a 9.
So I
feel like it could have gotten really high.
Yeah, this was a great year in games. I really loved this game. I did not expect, like, in no timeline did I expect Mercury Steam to make my favorite game of 2021. That's absolutely nuts. Oh, and the only 3DS game that made me go, yeah, it was worth destroying my palms playing this entire stream on a 3DS capture unit. Well, that's going to do it for the Metroid Dread spoiler cast review. Thank you for listening. If you like content like this, please head on over to patreon.com/GBpodcast and support us so we can keep doing stuff like this.